My spidey senses tell me this is gonna get fucking tasty, baby.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
You can't handle the truth.
Fuck you, Deputy Stike. Fuck you.
You are a liar. You are a self-confessed liar.
If you stop waffling, we might get some work done.
Where'd you get these two guys from?
Would you like a sweetie?
Arnie, cut! Get out! Get out, man! You ain't that!
Smith, touch, what a touch! Manny Smith!
Cut! He scores! Another one for Stanarski!
That is back up!
For me, looking at that video, that cat hadn't done anything wrong.
I'm going to Puerto Rico to kick your ass.
Shut up, you fucking dick.
And that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold Sexo.
Kieran and everyone else listening, welcome to another edition of the Only Fans Football Podcast. Episode 18, Kieran, is it?
18.
What we call it this week?
The one after Damien Priest, what we call it.
I don't know. Maybe we
how
might.
About the Arnie Slot, Adam?
The Arnie Slot, soon to be potential Liverpool manager. I'm very disappointed. Very, some would say depressed, Kieran, to an extent.
Oppressed or depressed?
Depressed. Oppressed in a way as well, I suppose. Do you know what? We'll get on to Liverpool's managerial situation.
1 minute in, and you're playing the victim.
One minute
away.
In, yeah, man. I fucking don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this. Klopp's leaving, man.
Good.
Welcome to another edition of the Only Fans Football Podcast, everybody. Sorry for the short rant there. Kieran, we've been asked this week to set up a new segment that's adjacent to an agony ant where people are going to put in their problems anonymous setting, and we're going to give them advice. For anyone who's listening, please do let us know if that's something you'd be interested in. I personally don't know how I'd feel giving advice out on the airwaves, Kieran, especially if it's to do with personal issues to an extent, but it's something that you're interested in, I can tell.
Well, you can't just lay that on me and say I'd be interested.
Well, I know the person you are, Kieran.
That's a lot of responsibility to
bear.
I
know the person you are.
Yeah, but it's a lot of responsibility to bear someone's
problem. Would it be something you'd be interested in, yes or no?
For a fee.
For a fee.
Yeah.
So we're not going to be doing
it. No, we'll do it. We'll do one for free every week.
Every so often.
But if you want to come back to me privately, you can.
Okay.
For a fee.
Okay, you're right. And what will you do for people privately?
Why are you trying to stitch me up like that, Adam? I'm not going to answer that question.
Kieran, there's been a lot of football over the past week. There's been Champions League, there's been Europa League, there's been FA Cup, there's been Premier League, there's been League of Ireland. With all that being said, Kieran, how has your week been?
Fairly draining, I would say. I mean, the weather was lovely.
The sun has come out to play.
But in the same sense, you just named about five competitions there.
Yeah,
so
it's a lot of football.
There was a lot of football that I didn't watch, to be honest with you. I was out in the sun enjoying it. Yeah, I did end up catching the FA Cup semi-final on Saturday evening. And I caught a bit of the United game, but that was about it. I caught a bit of the Leeds game actually last night, but anyway, that's another
that must have been great, wasn't it?
The fish, yeah.
They won 4-3 in the end, wasn't it?
But other than that, not much football I watched, but there was a lot of interesting games this weekend, a lot of goals. I think there was 30 goals in 8 games.
In the Premier League. Wow.
And you had Brentford, who scored 5 goals against Luton, they won 5-1. Burnley won 4-1. Palace won 5-2. Palace never scored.
Palace have had. We said last week about a bit of a renaissance.
Yeah, but
they've been doing really well.
This leads into my opening topic, Adam. Well, this car mysteriously revs its engine in the background. So far this season, there has been, and I've done my research on this, 1,076 goals in the Premier League so far.
Right.
The most ever recorded in the Premier League was 1,084 goals.
Right.
And that was last season.
Okay.
So there's 8 less goals in 32 games as a whole in the Premier League season. And it's going to absolutely demolish.
It's going to be smashed, yeah.
It's going to smash the record for most goals in one season. And I've done research back to the mid-90s. I've been going through my primary and my secondary sources.
Okay,
and,
right.
It appears that there's only ever, like, I think the last 10 seasons there's been over 1,000 goals.
Right.
And we're heading into a 1,200 goal threshold. And the lowest figure was maybe, I think, 900 goals in 2030. Is it getting to the point now, Adam?
Hold on, what year was that you were about to say? You just went 20s.
Well, in the early 2000s, there was an average of 900 goals.
Right, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it gradually went up to 1,000, and now it's 1,100. I have a topic to ask our listeners and you as well. Is the art of defence lost, or are teams becoming more offensive, and are they becoming better? Because you look, even last year, teams in the bottom half were scoring less than 40. You have teams in the bottom half now that have scored 50, 55. Yeah. You have Fulham, who have scored 55. Mm-hmm. You have Burnley, who are scoring 40. Mm-hmm. Teams like that. So has the standard raised, and teams are becoming better offensively, and maybe different style of football, or has the art of defence been lost? That's the topic I'd like to put out to the listenership.
So, great question, and I'm very appreciative of the fact that you've done your research.
For the first time ever.
I've had 4 days off, Kieran, and you've spoken about how getting out in the sun and not watching the football is probably better for your mental health. I've done the opposite, Kieran, and I've consumed a lot of football. Your question, very valid. I think the way football is now, and we see it with how, I'm not putting it down purely to Pep Guardiola because everyone's following suit, but I think football, generally speaking, now defensively, leaves defenders vulnerable. So we have the almost balance of play, like the top teams, usually most of their game is played in the opposition half. The fullbacks are high up, like you have these inverted fullbacks, yada yada. And I do think it tends to leave defenders bare at the back. And I think at a high level, so the likes of Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal now, of course, they can play like that because they have the firepower. And generally speaking, they have the defenders to stop the goals going in. But it's the lower teams in the league who are trying to play the same way, Burnley being a key example. And they're shipping so many goals.
Yeah.
So Sheffield United, another team who tried to play a similar way of football. I'm firmly of the belief that there's more than one way to skin a cat. You know, I think there's more than one way to play football. And if that's pragmatic, if that's defensive, then so be it. But I think a lot of teams are trying to play a similar way now, and I just think it's leaving them susceptible to conceding lots of goals. So, like, I'd imagine if you look at the top teams' goals conceded this season, I'd still imagine they're maybe low 20 or low 30s, mid 20s.
Yeah, I mean,
and then the bottom clubs would be like far exceeding that, I'd imagine. So I'd imagine that's where the goals are going in.
Well, yeah, you're right. It still is low 20s, low 30s even. Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal have seeded less than 35. So you're right in that regard. But even the likes of Aston Villa, I'm looking at West Ham, who are 8. They've shipped 63 goals.
Yeah. West Ham's a good example of it as well, do you know?
And even Chelsea, 52. United are one that's very interesting. They haven't scored many goals, nor have they conceded, and obviously that's why they're so high up in the table.
I think as well, but the volume of games has something to do with that. And like a lot of, so there's I don't think there's ever been as more English teams involved in European football as there is now with the Conference League, Europa League and Champions League. So I think the volume of games, and then leading on to the volume of like Sunday games. So, like, we've had game weeks this season where there's been 6 games on a Sunday and 4 on a Saturday, just for argument's sake. And I think Guardiola had a bit of a rant about it on Saturday after beating Chelsea. And he was like, we have to look after the players. And like, I know Klopp's gone on about it for years. But I think there's many factors in it. But I think the change in style and then the volume of games is probably a reason why.
So you're putting it down.
Goals conceded, you know?
You're putting it down to change in style of football.
I believe so.
Completely.
Yeah. Well, like.
I think some of these defenders that are playing are charlatans. They're not defenders.
Mm. I was just about to say, I don't think there's many great defenders anymore. That was going to be my next point. But yeah, no, I know what you're going to say.
Like, you have maybe the few and far between, like Thiago Silva, who's still ticking around and has good defensive position. But then playing beside him, you have people, Chalobah. Like just for a Chelsea perspective, Chalobah's not bad, but De Sassi, who's playing the majority of the games, he hasn't a defensive bone in his body, in my opinion.
Right.
And I just think these players are put there to play the high line, essentially, and to play the way the managers want to play. Mm. But they don't have any defensive capabilities, so it's like, you know, even Real Madrid were playing Tchouameni in centre-back.
And he slotted in, and he did concede three.
Yeah.
But he was capable of slotting in.
But yeah, it's a good point about the change of style, because I put it down to that as well, because even you have the likes of Crystal Palace now who are dominating possession.
Mm.
I mean, who in the league now wants to play pragmatically? I cannot name one manager now. Maybe Dyche, Moyes maybe.
Well, I'm looking at...
They're shipping a lot of goals still.
I'm looking at the bottom four teams, so Forest to Sheffield United, and all of them have more than 60 goals conceded. You look at West Ham, who are 8th, have 63 goals conceded. Like, these teams are still shipping goals, and the team atop the table is Arsenal.
Mm.
They've only conceded 26. So, I do firmly believe it is how teams are setting up now. I think... Well, like, Burnley's strength when they were in the league with the likes of Dyche years ago was a pragmatic style and was, you know, making teams really fight for points. Whereas now you could play Burnley and you could beat them 4-5-1, 4-5-0. And that's because they just leave themselves vulnerable. I don't think they have the quality at the back to be able to sustain real pressure from quality sides.
Yeah.
And they haven't got the ability to play. You're asking Nathan Collins. At Brentford, for example. I don't know. I remember a couple of weeks ago he had a torturous day. I don't know who it was against. But I think they conceded 4 goals on the day and he was at fault for treating them. Like, now that's from a Brentford perspective. But you do have players who just haven't got the capabilities of doing it.
You've named Arsenal there.
Mm.
I think Saliba and Gabriel are probably the best partnership in the league at the moment.
They're definitely the most consistent, aren't they?
Yeah, and they can play
and
be vulnerable and still defend.
Mm.
Which I think... is why Arsenal have shipped these goals.
Like, if you look at Liverpool and City's defence, who, like that again, they're top defenders. I think Liverpool have 32 conceded and City have 33, something along those lines.
Mm.
But the kind of Liverpool's defence really revolves around Van Dijk, and then it's whoever's with Van Dijk, so it's Gomez, Kwanzaa, Konate, Matip at start of season. Then City, it's usually, you know, they have an array of defenders. Do you know what I mean? They have Diaz, Ake, Guardiola, Stones, like they have so many that kind of come in and swap and change. I think that's what's been good about Arsenal is that they've had the two at the back for the majority of the season. And we saw when Saliba went out last season how much they struggled without him. So I do think it's about building up consistency, partnerships, and but the overarching factor, I do think it's, you essentially have, I don't want to say smaller teams, but essentially you have lower quality teams that apparently trying to play a high level of football, and I just don't think they have the capabilities doing it, and as a result they leave themselves vulnerable to, I don't know, counter presses and just teams creating a number of chances against them and scoring, do you know, and I think that's why.
Is this better or worse for football, do you think, the fact that teams are picking other teams off and
it's probably
sort of making a mockery of the defensive side of the game?
It's probably a good lead on to our first game, which is going to be Arsenal and Wolves, because we're going to talk about the title race. And I'm not saying it because Liverpool are second and we've shipped out a couple of competitions the past week. But I actually don't think football, other than the moments that kind of comes with it, 90 minutes now in football can be very arduous at times. It can be very almost tedious and not enjoyable. Because I think the way certain teams are playing, and City is a great example and Arsenal are a great example, is they're just boring to watch. Like, it's...
Well, we seen an example when they played each other.
Yeah,
the inverted fullback battle.
Yeah, and it's like...
Shy.
I was like, look, I know Liverpool might concede a few goals, whatever, and they might be susceptible to, you know, giving up chances and such. But at least they're entertaining to watch. That'd be the one thing I'd say as a Liverpool fan, is like, even if we're not winning a game or we're chasing a game, like, at least it's still, if you're neutral, you're probably enjoying it because it could be end to end, whatever. But I watched that Arsenal Wolves game on Saturday after the Chelsea Man City game, and I can't say I enjoyed any minute of it, because from the first minute up until the end, and even Arsenal didn't create a whole lot of chances, but you just knew Wolves weren't going to hurt them. And like, Wolves had a lot of injuries, and you could probably put it down to that. But it's the way Arsenal set up. Like, they're set up with four centre halves at the back. They're set up with three midfield, and then like a two behind a striker. And it's just like, it's almost like a pragmatic offence. It's like, we're going to defend from the front. And that's, I don't mind that necessarily. But I just find it so tedious to watch. I don't really find it enjoyable.
Even you name drop Man City, Chelsea, the FA Cup semi.
Mm.
Even that, for me as a Chelsea fan, I found it extremely boring watching City slowly build up from the back. And I know a lot of it is down to they play Real Madrid or whatever.
Mm.
But I don't find them, like, what they're doing is so disinteresting not interested at all. Like, they just slowly pass around the back, wait for the team to press them so that they can pick them off.
It's so methodical.
Like, I don't know, add a bit of spice to a Pep. Mm. You're just boring everyone to death.
Like, and I think that's rubbed off on Arteta as well.
Yeah.
Because obviously he's worked in Man City, so he knows the way. But we've seen Guardiola at Barcelona, they kind of revamped football for what it was. And, you know, I think this has all trickled down as a result. But they played great football. You know, they played cutting edge stuff, and like, they played through you. And I think
they had Messi.
They had Messi, so obviously that's a benefactor, and that helps. But just looking at City now, and like, Haaland's getting a lot of stick for it because he's not scoring as much, and he doesn't link up well. I think Roy Keane said he had the link up play of a League Two player. To an extent, like, a lot of teams are just setting up against City now just to defend and not give up chances, and then hope to get them on the break. But almost the way City counter that is by not even allowing you to get out to break. And that's like, you're suffocating. Like, Chelsea were a good example of on Saturday. They suffocate us. You know, they suffocate us at times. But I just find it so tedious. I don't find it. And look, come here. I've been on the podcast saying I'd love Simeone at Liverpool, and that would be like a complete 180 to how Liverpool have played in recent years. But I think there's something graceful about defending, and I think a lot of that has gone out of the game now just because of how Guardiola and Arteta, they're the kind of two top managers at the minute in the league, are setting up.
But also, there's something exciting about playing counter-attacking football. Like, look around Madrid.
Mm.
They still play in that way, and Ancelotti just exploits the pacey wingers.
Yeah.
And makes them, I would say, great to watch.
Yeah,
it does. Even though they're pragmatic.
It's how Liverpool played when we won the league and Champions League. We were setting traps, and you would counter-press the team then. That's how we won the league, essentially, do you know?
But I would say even more counter-attacking than that.
Yeah, I agree. Mm.
Like, and even Mourinho teams of the past, Conte, stuff like, I don't know, reminiscing there. But
I just think it's gone out of game.
Yeah.
It needs to come back. Do you remember years ago, right? You'd be in a pub with your dad, and your dad's having a pint, and you were having a Lucozade or something, a pack of crisps, and you're watching.
I'm very bougie, Adam. I drank tap water.
No, you didn't. You fucking bougie. And you're sat watching Super Sunday in the boozer, right? We used to go over across to the bridge every so often, myself, Dave, my dad. And you would get the
outlet. A Finch's orange, yes.
A Finch's rock shandy, the blue ball. You would hear some outfield in the bar going, the problem with Arsenal is, and Arsene Wenger is, they tried to play the ball into the net. And that's, I don't know how many times I've heard, and you still hear it now.
Yeah, my dad used to say that multiple times.
But every team does that now. Every team plays the same way. Every team is playing this kind of pragmatic, build up slowly and then pounce. And I genuinely think it's so tedious. I really do.
It's a nightmare for the game, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a bad indictment of the game. Do you know?
Yeah.
Like, look at look at
Pochettino the, wants to play that way as well, by the way.
Yeah,
I know he's not at the moment.
I don't think he has the tools to
He doesn't. He's playing on the counter-attack, so it's interesting. But yeah. I think he wants to play that way eventually. So he's another one.
Mm. Well,
Bring the legends back into the game.
So Arnie Schlott, who we talked about at the start of the podcast, regretfully, he's the one that's been headed for Liverpool's managerial appointment when Klopp goes. And I was reading about him earlier, and his Feyenoord, I think they've won the league in the Eredivisie, great.
Yeah.
One of his stats that stood out to me was he's won the most, or his team have won the most balls in the final third in the opposition half all season. And it was like, it was a really high number. So essentially he plays pressing football. That's kind of read between the lines. That's what they're trying to say.
That's the only stat going for him. That's right. Not telling
now, there was a list of stats. That's the one that stuck out. Mourinho was at the game in Craven Cottage. So people were saying he might come in. I wouldn't want Jose, as much as I appreciate him. I wouldn't really want him at Liverpool. But it's, I do agree. I think the it feels like the heart of football is almost gone. It feels like there's, every team feels as though there's too much to lose.
Mm.
And it's like we have to be perfect in our attacking sense and defensively.
Bring the game back, Adam. Bring the game back.
I don't know how you do it though.
Yeah.
I think the Premier League in particular, as much as we love it, I think the Premier League is on the edge of explosion. I think English football in the next few years is going to be in tatters.
Right.
I really do.
Alright, here come the tinfoil hats. Right,
No. So you seen last week with the FA Cup.
Yeah.
I don't know if you seen that. There was the vote for no replays anymore.
Yeah.
And that was done between 20 Premier League teams, three of which won't be in the Premier League next season. So a cup competition that spans the whole of England is essentially being ruled by 20 teams. So that's a, what's the word, a bureaucracy, is that it?
Well, it's a farce, I would say. Or yeah.
There was the whole Super League thing as well, wasn't there?
Mm.
That we all were fearful of, and six teams leaving, and there was like shouts of expulsion. There was like, get them out of the league and stuff. And to be honest, looking back on it, that's probably what they should have done. It's probably what they should have done, because the reason why they're getting rid of the cup replays, right, is because UEFA are up in the Champions League games. So the group stage next season Champions League won't end until February. That's why, right? So essentially the top six Premier League teams have gone, we don't want replays because we're going to have to play more European games. But that's what the Super League was. That's the Super League. That's what it was.
Well, I don't know if it was that exactly.
But that's the premise. It's literally the top six teams saying, we're doing this because this is what we want. Fuck everyone else.
But did the other 14 not vote for it as well?
They did. But again, that's protecting them as well. It's protecting them from cup replays as well.
But,
so it's suiting 20 teams, though, Kieran, is the point I'm making.
But if it suits 20, surely it suits everyone else.
But it doesn't, though. Because there's clubs like Newport County who went on a run. What was George Ellicolby's team? Woking or something, was it?
Yeah.
They beat Ipswich.
Or Maidstone.
Right, a team like Maidstone, they got to whatever round the FA Cup was, they beat Ipswich, they beat a load of teams. They build their future on the FA Cup, a replay, and they get half the gate. Or they get the full gate if it's at home. Like, it's...
Yeah, no.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, you're not... The pyramid is gone, I think. I genuinely would be fair. And the likes of VAR being involved, and like, it's like... And Gary Neville's getting sued for it. But it is like a mafia. It is.
Mm.
This is what English football is becoming. Do you know?
Yeah. It is worrying. No, you raise good points, but...
You look very concerned there,
I don't think it's going to be in tatters in the sense where it's going to be financially in tatters.
Ah, financially it'll be it's going to get more. It's only, like, the Premier League at the minute is only ever going to go
on an upward curve. And maybe that's the worrying part of it.
We will start off with the Champions League, I suppose, Kieran.
Yeah.
Really quick. I didn't see any of the Tuesday games. I was in Dudley's on Thomas Street eating a grilled chicken burger and sinking Guinness. And we weren't watching it, myself, Oisín, Seán Morgan, Eleanor. We didn't see any of it. So, are you seeing the Tuesday games?
I said? The Tuesday games. I don't think I was watching them either, to be honest, Adam. And it's based on the fact that I have no interest in.
I did watch the highlights of them. Don't get me wrong. It was Atletico and Dortmund. Atletico.
Let me just double check because I can't remember.
Dortmund 4, Atletico 2, and then PSG 4, Barcelona 1. Were the results on the day?
Sorry, I did watch these. Yeah, I did watch them. I do remember watching them. Araujo was sent off for a foul that wasn't really a foul. Well, it was, but it looked a bit soft, given a red card for that. I thought it was soft.
Suspect.
That kind of ruined the game for Barca, and they ended up losing 4-1. Mm. And PSG have a favourable run to the final now.
So I think on last week's podcast, we did release it later than what we planned. We had recorded on the Monday evening. And we did predict the Champions League. Did you leave the Champions League predictions in? And the podcast?
I took them out.
So for anyone listening, this is full disclosure. We got all the Champions League games wrong. And I think I meant on record to say I let go to win the Champions League. So I'm glad Kieran, he took them out. In that sense, there were shocks all over. Because I was surprised that Diego Simeone's Atletico Madrid conceded 4.
Yeah.
And to a Dortmund side who I don't really fancy. The Wednesday game, Kieran, Wednesday games, the two English games on the one night. I know a lot of Premier League fans were disappointed with that, but Arsenal lose 1-0 to Bayern Munich. Bayern, for my money, played Arsenal off the park, and I think they got what they deserved. I've seen these games.
I think I remember your TikTok video, Bayern are dark horses for the whole thing at the time, yeah. And it seemed farcical at the time because Tuchel was doing so badly. But
I think this competition suits Tuchel down to the ground. And Thomas Tuchel's one of the managers linked with Liverpool. And look, I don't think it would be the most inspiring managerial appointment, especially after Klopp. I do think he's a bit like Klopp-like, for example.
He's not. He's better.
I know you see him as legend, and I get that. I respect that. But I think this competition's made for Bayern. I think they have a really good chance of winning it.
Yeah, 100%. Real Madrid next. All English clubs out of Europe, by the way. Man.
Except Villa. I think Villa are still in, aren't they?
Yeah. Against Lille. They've beat them.
One of the things that cracked me up on Wednesday evening was when the Bayern team came out, Guerrero was at left mid. And a lot of Arsenal fans were like, oh, Guerrero's on the pitch to mark Saka out of the game because they need an extra defender on him, etc. Yada, yada. This is an Arsenal team, as I said, who play 4 central defenders each game. And Guerrero was the one who got the assist for the goal. Guerrero left wing to Kimmich right back, got the goal for Bayern Munich. I was quite happy with that. I look at this Arsenal team, right, and I think I've said on the podcast before, I don't know if you agree, I don't think they're any great shakes. I really don't rate them. Like, I look at this Arsenal team and I think the teams who have won the Premier League in years gone by are far better than this Arsenal team. Like, I just don't. I think it's probably harsh, probably an oversight, because they are where they are and they deserve to be where they are. I just don't rate them. I really don't. And I think that's a sad indictment on the Premier League this season, if they were to win it, for example.
Yeah, well, I think Arteta's following the Pep Guardiola formula, that's for sure. We talked about that earlier in the pod, but they're a good team. Don't get me wrong, they're a good team. But do they have the minerals to win a trophy? That's not the FA Cup in COVID. That's all I want to know. And so far, they haven't had the minerals to get over the line.
Mm.
And again, they lose in Champions League to this Bayern team. You can say it's not bottling it.
Is it bottling it?
It was the big night. Mm. Big night for Arsenal Football Club. Probably one of their best chances to get to a semi-final.
Mm.
And then maybe a final. So, and they lost.
And this is it. Like, and I've always said it, and look, it could be because Liverpool historically have done really well in Europe and Champions League, and obviously they're the team I support. But I think the Champions League is the creme de la creme. I've always thought, I think that's, if you win the Champions League, for me, for my money, you are the best in Europe, and I know that's what the trophy signifies. I just think if Arsenal are to get to that level, like, you have to go further. You have to. Yeah. I think Arsenal will be disappointed that they're not in the final. That would be my thing.
Yeah.
Or because the way the draws worked out as well, like, I don't think these teams that are left, other than Real Madrid, I think Real Madrid would probably win the whole thing, and deservedly so. I don't think any of these teams are, again, and it could be just the level of football in general. I don't think these teams are great.
Yeah, you can say that though, Adam, but if they're not great teams, why isn't there any great teams left in the competition? That's that would be my point. Is,
and you're right, you'd be right as well. Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
no, you'd be right.
I do think there is an element of English football hype to most of the teams in England, and just because the money is in England doesn't necessarily mean that the better managers are in England. You know what I mean? Or the better.
This is very true.
The better systems, the better development for players to come through.
Mm.
I think there is a lot of hype in England because of the money. Mm. But again, I mean, I think Mats Hummels tweeted great harvesting farmers or something this week.
Yeah.
Fellow farmers, great harvesting, he said.
But these are also professional footballers at the highest level.
Mm.
Do you know? And I think another problem with football in today's age is social media.
I think he has every right to come with the slander.
He does.
Yeah.
I'm not disagreeing. Mm. But I think, like, again, at the highest level, do lions care about the opinion of sheep? Now would be my answer. Like, why does...
So you're saying he's not justified in that?
No, I think he is. I think he's more than justified. But I think that's a slight, you know, potential lapse in concentration, a lapse in mentality, because do you think Zinedine Zidane, when he was in his pomp, gave a fuck about us? In terms of our opinion of him.
Well, Mats Hummels isn't Zinedine Zidane, with all due respect.
No, but again, point being is he's a professional footballer at the highest level. He's playing his Champions League semi-final career on in May. So why is he caring about Farmers League? Why is he caring about trolls you know what I mean? Like, I think it's wild.
To be honest with you, I think he has every right to put that out, because it does get a lot of publicity that... England gets a lot of publicity that those leagues don't, for example.
Yeah.
And he's probably saying that as a dig. But I think maybe people should be looking at these leagues and saying they deserve respect. And
you're looking at Xabi Alonso's
sponsorships, etc.
For example, who are unbeaten. Yeah. Who are the best team in the world at the minute. So, like, it's clear for all to see, like, that the quality is in the other leagues. You know what I kind of... I think the difference between the Bundesliga, for example, and the Premier League is the money's in the Premier League.
Yeah.
The investment's there.
Mm.
Now, it's not like a case of there's much division, because there's a lot of money in the Bundesliga as well. Like, that's, you know, and the support's there. But I just, personally speaking, if I were Mats Hummels, I'd be more concerned about a Champions League semi-final against PSG.
I don't think he's concerned. I think he's just putting that out as a dig, and fair play to him, because there's people putting up pictures of training and pictures of them losing matches and saying, oh, we will be better next week.
Yeah.
So what distinguishes him putting up a tweet as a dig to those people?
Real Madrid go through as well, Kieran, on penalty shootout. Bernardo Silva's penalty down the middle, saved by Lunin, and then Man City Real Madrid just going to win it. Ranking the four sides on probability to win, Kieran, who you go over?
Real Madrid number one,
mm-hmm.
Bayern number two,
mm-hmm.
PSG number three, and Dortmund four.
I have the same, except Dortmund three, PSG four. I just can't see a world PSG winning.
I think this is one of the weakest PSG sides in years as well. I don't understand how they've gotten this far.
Mbappe's last dance as well, potentially.
I mean, I don't really care for him that much.
No, same. The Premier League card, the FA Cup, Kieran, you said you were looking at Chelsea-Man City on Saturday evening.
Oh, it's...
Wasn't great viewing. Chelsea were robbed as well, by the way.
It wasn't great viewing. But I thought Chelsea played well. And it annoys me that we didn't take our chances.
I thought they gave a good account themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It annoys me that... Jackson maybe had two clear-cut chances in 10 seconds and didn't score, and stuff like that. I mean, there were so many more clear-cut chances for Chelsea than there was City in that game. So we should have killed them off, but we just don't have minerals up front to do it.
It's the difference at the top level, isn't it, unfortunately.
And Pochettino, in all fairness, had a good game plan lined up. He was getting them in the middle and picking them off and getting the ball back and creating chances that way. Gallagher was sticking the foot in, Caicedo, all them, getting the ball, going into transition. And then you have clowns like Nicholas Jackson finishing them off.
Majorque. And he's had a good penalty shot as well. This is Michael Oliver, the referee again.
Stonewall penalty.
Incredible. We're going to speak about Nottingham Forest now soon. But this fella, Michael Oliver, it's chronic. It's unbelievable. I suppose before we get on to the United game, we'll talk briefly about Everton and Forest because that's where the big refereeing decisions came the weekend. Three penalties they should have had. And for my money, they were all clear penalties.
Yeah, I mean, Ashley Young decapitates one of the Forest players in the box. I think it's...
Callum Hudson-Odoi, I think, wasn't it?
It's Callum Hudson-Odoi and then Gio Reyna.
Gio Reyna was...
absolutely decapitates two people.
Yeah.
Doesn't... Not a foul. Was it Clattenburg in the...
So Clattenburg works for Nottingham Forest now.
Was he in the VAR room?
No. Mark Clattenburg works for Nottingham Forest.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So that's where the whole controversy is coming in.
Right.
Who was in the fucking VAR office? They were talking about it on Sky.
Atwell, was it?
Could have been. It was Stuart Atwell.
And he's a Luton fan.
Well, that's, again, this is the fucking, this is the innuendo. So this is what.
It's a bit like when they.
But again, like. I think, I even think that's very far-fetched to be like, we didn't get penalties because Atwell's a Luton fan. But, like. He's not the fellow refereeing the game.
Well, they've asked him to,
do you know what I mean?
To release the audio.
So I think the audio is out on everything. Right. I feel like it is.
Well, we're outdated here then. How are they not fouls on the pitch, can I ask? Because how does the referee not give these penalties?
This is it as well.
Like, yeah, like, you're paid good money to be good at your job, and half of them can't keep up with the play.
Mm.
Most of them are unfit. They're not in good shape.
Anthony Taylor was the referee on Sunday or for
these referees should be put on programs for their fitness to made look after their nutrition. These referees are not in good shape.
It's a cult.
They're in the best league in the world and most of them are overweight and they have to run after the ball, keep up with the play. You see most of the referees in Europe, they're well built. These are good referees. These referees are sprinting back and they can't keep up with the players. It's not good enough.
And you see as well, I think I went on the rant that time when Diaz's goal was ruled out unlawfully. These are the most protected referees in the world because it's the PGMOL and that's it. There's no other union to come in and
it's
and
a look cult.
Like, my personal opinion is if the Premier League is so consistent on bringing players and coaches from outside and in Europe, from outside of England and in Europe, bring the officials in. If they're given the tagline, the best league in the world, when it's essentially a league of imports, that's what it is. Bring the referees with them. Because these referees aren't fit for purpose. Like, I genuinely think it's a cult. And it's the most protected referees union in the world. It's unbelievable.
The most protected union in the world.
Yeah. Most protected cult worldwide is the referees in the Premier League. Forrest put out a... statement.
Oh, God.
Forrest put out a statement, which, again, I feel is quite unbelievable, on Twitter. Three extremely poor decisions, three penalties not given, which we simply cannot accept. We warned the PGMOL that the VAR is a Luton fan before the game, but they didn't change him. Our patience has been tested multiple times. NFFC will now consider its options. Where do we even go with this, like?
Yeah, emotions were high, Adam. I think it's fair to say. I think Gary Neville came out and slated it and said it wasn't good enough. I think Louis Saha came out and defended it. Somewhere in between is where I think the real opinion lies, in terms of my opinion. I think this account was rash in how it acted.
I don't know how it got to that. Because,
it's as if the fan got onto the count. And I think Lewis is right in how they should be allowed to come out and speak against this establishment. There's a way of doing that, and it's clubs union. against these referees. But will the clubs come together?
But again, Kieran, this is it.
Yeah.
Because the three penalties that Forrest didn't get suited everything.
And Ashley Young came out and said
it suited everything down to the ground, Kieran. Do you know, and it happened with Diaz's goal that time that was wrongfully ruled out. Postecoglou came out and was like, mate, the referees, there's nothing he can do, blah, blah, blah. And then a couple of weeks later, Spurs had a decision against them and he slayed the referees. So it's all context-based. It's all situation-based. It's all, if this suits me, why the fuck am I going to give out to referee because you just got done by something?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So you're never going to get teams agreeing on any one thing.
Coventry 3, Man United 3, Adam. It looked like a 3-0 romping in the 70th minute. And Man United bottled it and choked, I would say. And choked 3 goals. Almost a fourth in extra time.
Crazy.
What did you think of this? Was it...
I thought, in terms of performance, I think Ten Hag, even if he wins the FA Cup, I think it's... position's untenable. I don't think he can stay.
You think he'll be sacked?
I think he'll be sacked or he'll walk. I don't think he can stay.
Hmm.
After that, I think it's very hard to stay. I can't imagine Ten Hag staying after that.
Hmm.
Do you know? I think Coventry were robbed for what it's worth.
With the offside?
Yeah, wasn't it? I didn't think it was offside.
It did, like, I don't understand. And I know they're bringing in next season. How offsides aren't automated at this point. I mean, we're living in the 21st century with ChatGPT, AI, and the likes, the smartest computer in the world. You type something into it, it comes back with an answer in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And yet we still can't have offsides that are automated and a decision made within 2 seconds. To me, that's farcical in the current setup where we have refs in a VAR room making decisions.
Mm.
Yet we can't have semi-automated offsides or automated offsides.
And this is where the game comes into disrepute, is because it's not automated, it's not semi-automated, whatever you're saying. This is a man drawing a line beside another line.
Well,
and again, Kieran, it's inch by inch, like, and the game is played at many miles an hour. How can you stop a game like that?
Well, they can manipulate the lines. You know what I mean?
So, looking at it, I don't think he's offside. I'm not just saying it because he's United. I actually don't think he's offside. Had you right. I actually actively think he's onside. And I think in the lines that they drew, the line goes over Wan-Bissaka's boot. Which, that's not... It's supposed to be at his toe, for example. That's what it's supposed to be.
Hmm.
So that would then give Had you right an extra yard. There's been clips online and on TikTok and such... of Hadji Wright being onside from a camera point of view when the ball's played. Now again, that can be manipulated.
And I also think it's a horrendous way of ruining such a great moment as well.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
Imagine being in the commentary, you know?
If that happened in the 80s, there would be absolute limbs.
Oh, and there was limbs at it.
There was limbs, but it's so cruel how they do that to a group of people. In my opinion, celebrating a football moment like that.
Yeah.
To disallow a goal of that magnitude, that is cruel. If that was Man United and roles reversed, they wouldn't disallow it. That's my opinion.
Mm. Who's winning the final, Karen? Man City?
I can't see past City.
Mm.
Just, I think they'd be hungry for a double now.
Mm.
The City all the way for me.
Mm. Really briefly as well, I suppose, in title race, because I haven't really touched on it. Man City play Brighton on Thursday. Arsenal play Chelsea tonight. Liverpool play Everton tomorrow. Liverpool won the weekend 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
A return to form for Jurgen Klopp's side.
Yeah.
The Pablo Amorim of Sport Lisbon looks to be out of race for Liverpool's managerial run.
He's in the West Ham race, isn't he?
Which is crazy. West Ham coming in from out of nowhere. So I was, where do you sit on the title race now? Do you still think it's City's to lose? Because I'm probably of that opinion myself.
Yeah, I'm going City still.
Mm. Yeah, I fancy City now, I have to say. Ruben Amorim, sorry, his name.
It's just the running they have. I don't think they're losing. That's my opinion.
It did strike me on Saturday post-game with Guardiola. It looked like he was worried. He gave the impression that he was worried about his players, which I find interesting. Obviously, there was no Haaland on the day. But it struck me as someone who was worried that he was going to finish the season without a trophy for what would be the first time in a long time.
I mean, I can't see it now, personally.
Did you see any of Liverpool's win?
I did not catch any of it. I heard they were 1-0 down and they came back.
We were 1-0 up, Fulham equalised, and then we won 3-1.
Yeah.
The best Liverpool have been in a while. And it was without Salah, Nunes, McAllister was benched as well. There was a lot of changes. And it could be the delusional side of me. It definitely is. But after the game, I was very happy. And I think this is what football does to a man, isn't it? Like, it makes us happy, it makes us sad. Mm. It's very stupid. It's ridiculous of us. Like, I wasn't going to watch the Brighton game on Thursday now. I wasn't going to watch the Arsenal match tonight, for example. Mm. And now I'm going to be sat here watching both of those games with full-blooded interest to see do they drop points.
It'll go all the way.
I think it will, yeah. I believe so.
It'll go all the way, yeah. For sure. I think especially between Liverpool and City, I think there is a scenario where Arsenal drop out, but that would depend on Chelsea obviously beating them tonight or
Spurs away and United away.
Yeah.
For Arsenal, I think is wild.
Mm.
I think that could be, like, I don't want to say if Liverpool win the rest of the games, they're going to win the league.
Well,
but if they do, there's a very good chance. Do you think Chelsea wins tonight?
No, I think either a draw or a loss.
Right. A draw would be good for me.
Yeah.
Shout out to Alberto Moreno as always. Get it out. Starting off with David Mullery, who says, make a GAA starting 15 out of Premier League present players hurling or football.
It would be all the big lads, wouldn't it?
Essentially, yeah. So in goal, who are we going for? We do this together because you have more brain power than I do.
In goal, I'm trying to think of a big stocky boy. Would you go, what's your man off Palace?
Guaita?
No, the other guy, the English guy.
Oh, Henderson?
No, the other guy.
Johnston?
Johnston. Sam Johnston.
No, I'm going.
Skinhead, he'd suit the GAA.
Yeah, he would, to be fair. Ederson would probably be battered on the GAA pitch as well. We'd go Johnston, would we?
Johnston, Sam Johnston.
At the back?
At the back, there's full back line, so they're straight at the back.
Okay, we'll go with Sam.
So we're going the tallest fella in the full back, I think.
Well, Van Dijk, Tim Ream.
I think Ruben Dias would make a fantastic fullback.
Do you think, yeah?
Yeah.
Boy, Akanji, he's a tall boy.
Yeah. Or someone who handballs it a lot. Can you think of
Rodri.
Rodri, yeah.
We'll get on to him, I suppose, when we move up the pitch. All right, I'll go Van Dijk, you pick one, then we'll pick one together.
I'm going to go Ruben Dias, and then two wing backs, sort of like left.
Well, hold on, who's our feedback? Van Dijk, Dias, and... Dijk, I'm going to say a Kanji.
Van Dijk, Dias, and Malo Gusto.
Malo Gusto, right, okay. Yeah. Interesting. The next two crown, two, what are you calling?
Well, there's three, a half-back line now.
Okay, right,
so we're going into, like, central defence and midfield.
Right,
so,
okay. Rodri.
Rodri, I'm thinking needs someone a bit more pacey in there.
I'm going to say Wataru Endo.
Yeah, Wataru Endo might be a show.
Yeah.
Deco Rice wouldn't be bad as well.
Yeah,
Deco
he's probably Rice. Played GAA as well, I believe. I think he's played GAA in Croke Park, actually. I think that's a fact. That was Grealish, actually. Jack Grealish, never mind.
And the midfield, the two midfields. Two-man midfield.
Are we still kind of defensive here or attacking?
Well, it can be either or at this point.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Martin Odegaard.
Odegaard, he'd be a bit small now. But right, okay. Yeah. Oh, you need a small man beside a big man, though, I think.
Yeah, big man.
We'll go Martin Odegaard, and we'll go... How about Thomas Souček?
Souček, right, yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
We're getting there.
We're getting there.
Wing forwards now, right. And the half forward.
Right, okay.
So we're going sort of attacking midfield.
How many positions here? Three, is it?
Yeah, De Bruyne's one of them.
Right, De Bruyne can be the half forward.
Yeah, Cole Palmer on Palmer. The right wing.
Luis Diaz, bit of flair.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And a full forward line.
Okay, that's three again, isn't it?
Yeah, wingers and maybe a striker.
I think Elise.
Michael Elise, yeah, great show.
I think Jean-Philippe Mateta.
Up front, yeah.
And then, who's the striker for Fulham? Not Muniz. We'll go with Kudus, fuck it, yeah.
Kudus, yeah.
Kudus, Jean-Philippe Mateta and Elise.
Yeah.
Can someone draw that out? Will you listen back to this and make a graphic, will you?
I might do, yeah.
Yeah, please do.
Our GAA pitch.
I'd be very interested to see it.
And throw it up on the Instagram.
Throw it up on Instagram. Yeah. Thanks, Dave, for that question.
That was a good question.
Dave Leonard says, thoughts on Virgin Media potentially taking over the League of Ireland. So, I don't know if you heard this, but there's been rumours of the League of Ireland pulling away from the FAI and becoming independent. Yeah, you're giving me a wild look there.
That's nuts.
Mm.
It's first I've heard of that.
Yeah, it was going around last week. Virgin Media are seemingly one of the investors planning on investing as part of this independence. I don't know, you were watching the Leeds game, you said last night, so you probably didn't catch much of Shells and Rovers.
To be honest with you, I was seeing the state of the sandy pitch and I was like...
It's like playing in Donnymount.
It's
yeah,
not going to look good on the ice, but... Yeah, that's part of the reason they're probably thinking of pulling out is the state of the fucking grounds. Yeah.
So the overall production of it, i.e. the presentation of it, they go back to studio and then the presentation in the ground from Virgin Media has far exceeded anything RT has done over the years.
Yeah.
So personally speaking, I would love Virgin Media to be involved in this kind of independent LOI away from the FAI. I think it'd be a good idea. David Dunwoody says, Carpo on the podcast, can you please give us your best impression, Kieran?
Right, guys.
Do you know what Carpo is?
A plus 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 plus.
Oh, wappa wappa.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Alton says, should there be a Continental Cup every 4 years, e.g. Asia 11 versus Europe 11 and South America 11 versus Africa 11? I'm going to say no because I think there's enough football.
Yeah, and I think the Club World Cup is coming just around the corner. Is that this year? No, it's next year.
Next year, I think, yeah.
Where it's literally going to be a World Cup with clubs.
Yeah.
So, no.
He also says, which team tune is more iconic? The Match of the Day team tune or the Premier Soccer Saturday RT team song? I don't know if you remember the RT, the Premier Soccer Saturday. RT Saturday evening team song, no.
Maybe I'll play it right now.
I think
now.
I'll have it here, yeah. Hold on. Just a second.
Oh my god, a dose of nostalgia. And then Darren Maloney's just sat there.
Great film. I'm gonna take you out. Purely for that dose of nostalgia, I'm giving it to the Premier Soccer Saturday.
Yeah, and the podcast is being taken down now. Cheers, Adam.
And that was on YouTube by some fella named Aiden Luck. And to be fair, you could probably play that.
You have to call him out, he's going to get taken down now.
And to be fair, you could probably play that without the music and me just going, oh, woo, woo. Alton says, a bigger influence on history. So what has had a bigger influence on history? Bats, the animal, or actual bats in sports terms? So like baseball bats.
Oh, right. I don't know.
You're so confused at the concept.
I'm trying to think, is there psychedelics being involved in that question? That's a wild question to think of. But
have bats had much historical significance? That would be my question.
I would say they have. I mean, everything in nature has a purpose, right?
Go on.
Well, just like even like bees pollinate and such.
Yeah. What do bats give society?
Well, I wouldn't really be very well educated on what bats give to society.
Right.
But my point is, I would say they have had more historical significance than a baseball bat, for example. Because a baseball bat is a man-made item, whereas a bat is something that nature has had its foot on,
right?
Which means it's essentially the circle of life in some way. Now I don't know if that makes sense, but nature.
What influence has bats had?
Well, I can't answer. I just said. I don't know the answer. I tried to explain.
I'm gonna say bats in a sporting sense has had more historical influence.
You're a snob. You're a big and a snob. Disregarding nature.
Tell me the influence it's had.
Everything in nature has a purpose.
Go on, hit me.
I just named an animal as a bird.
I know, but we're not talking about that. We're not talking about bees. We're talking about bats.
You're saying bats have no purpose.
They have no purpose.
That's like saying me or you don't have a purpose.
Well, maybe we don't. Gary Bab says, players from League of Ireland, you'd love to go on a night out with no Shells players allowed. That's a bit of a downer, Kieran. If there was Shells players allowed, I'd say Paddy Barr, because I'd say he'd be great crack on a night out. Other than that, I would say maybe Jack Bourne, because he has lots of money. I would buy a salt drink, I don't know. Who would you go with, Kieran?
To be honest with you, I wouldn't like to go out with any of them.
Right. Fair.
Just personal preference.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah. Fair.
I'd like to stick myself.
Rory says, thoughts on the Shane Farrell fiasco, Kieran. Do you wanna explain what the fiasco is?
To be honest with you, I don't really, but Damien Duff had a go at one of his players, isn't that right?
So essentially Shane Farrell came on last night in the game against Rovers, got sent off within, I'd say, about maybe 10 minutes of coming on, 10-15, and Duffer outed him in his post-match, saying he just hasn't been up to scratch, he hasn't had any intensity level.
He's not professional, all this.
Not professional off the pitch and such. And I, personally speaking, I think there's ways of doing it, and I think Duffer's probably exerted all those ways. Like people were saying online, you never do that in the public eye or whatever. But I'd imagine Duffer has had his arm around him. I'd imagine he's tried to help him as much as he can. Personally speaking, from following Shells, I think the level of Farrell has dipped significantly since Duff came in. He was good under Duffer for the first couple of months. And then I think there was rumours of him moving away. And I don't know if that got into his head and he maybe thought he was going away. And obviously then it didn't suffice. So, or it didn't come to fruition.
Well, what I would say is on this subject, is I think from what I've seen of him anyway, is he's a player with a lot of potential.
Mm.
Now, it's up to him whether he pursues that potential or not.
Mm.
And maybe Duff has done this as a kick up the arse for him to get him back into gear because he's aware of that potential.
Mm.
That would be my opinion.
This is it. And I would agree with you. I think he showed that potential as well for Shells. And then, as I said, he, there was the hint of that move coming around. And you have people saying, oh, well, why did he play him if he felt that way, etc. He's one of his options. He's more than entitled to use him if he wants to. Like, you can't sit here and be like, you can't sit here and tell me that any given manager is happy with every player they have.
Mm.
Like, Pochettino, Mudrick is probably a good example of it. Mudrick comes in for a good amount of money, hasn't lived up to that potential. Doesn't mean Pochettino's one, happy with him, or two, unhappy with him. Doesn't mean he can't play him. It's his artillery. You can still use him. So that argument for me is void. Again, I don't know if it was the right thing to do, but I would imagine from looking it out, I'd imagine Dufford's done everything he can inside. He's had the arm around him. He's done everything he can for him. And it's just, this is the kind of last call. It's like, this is it. I don't know what else is going to work.
Hmm.
Pure
speculation, though.
It is pure. I don't actually know. Hmm. But again, it's professional football, Kieran. Shells are looking to win trophies this season. And in terms of football, generally speaking, you can't really have any hangers-on. You can't have players who are there just to be there, who are making up numbers and who aren't probably up to scratch. And Shane Farrell's been a great servant to Shelbourne. I have immense respect for him. I have nothing but respect for him. He's given us really good moments since he's been with Shells. But I do think he's probably let himself down last night by getting sent off. And I think the majority of people agree with that, you know?
Yeah.
Senna McCaig says, you can only listen to one album forever. Which album are you choosing? Can't be the Shrek album. Well, what album are you going for, Kieran? It's a very tough question, isn't it, actually?
Yeah, but probably. Now, I hate bringing recency bias into it, to be honest with you, because that's what I tend to do. So I'm going to go Blonde by Frank Ocean.
Right.
Because if it was recently biased, I've been listening to a lot of Rory's Got Me into Outkast. I've listened to a lot of Equipment Now by Outkast. It's very good.
Right.
1998.
You're so fresh, so clean. That album?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't think it is that album.
Right.
It's another one. It's an earlier album.
Okay.
It's really, really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, without recency bias involved, Blonde by Frank Ocean. What about yourself?
I'm going to say The Stone Roses. Just obviously about The Stone Roses. I think there's so many bangers on it. I don't think there's a bad song on it. And it pains me to say it because...
Fool's Gold.
No, right, Jim. I don't think there's a bad song on it, on the album. Other than that, that's probably it, Kieran. I think, yeah, that would be the album I'd go for. Maybe 808.
Heartbreaks.
It's a great album too. All of Kanye's discography in general is quite good.
Discography.
So, any of them. Ben Casey says, would you rather piss out grapes or shite pineapples? Thanks, Ben. Hey. Shout out to your sister as always.
Well,
Ben. Probably grapes if I had to pick. But
I'm surprised by this question by you, Ben.
Yeah, there's a lack of decorum from Ben for a change. From two men who shout out his sister every week, I suppose.
Yeah,
I suppose he's reached his limit now. He's trying to sabotage the podcast, Kieran. I would go with grapes, but preferably neither.
Grapes.
Ian Fallon says, favourite type of boot?
The one in The Simpsons.
Right, okay.
They use in Australia. You know that episode? They get the big boot.
I see you've played Naughty Spinning before. Shout out to Finman. Ian has a history question as well. I'll leave that for last.
He's listened to my criticism.
My favourite type of boot would be the Nike T90 Tempo, I think they were called.
Oh, he's talking about football boot.
Well, yeah, well, it's a fucking football podcast, man.
Didn't specify.
I actually literally said favourite type of football boot. I did say that. Cottle says, what is happening to the Liverpool and Arsenal these days? Why the drop off in form? I just think it's come to the end of the season. There's a lot of pressure involved, and probably both teams are probably bollocks as well, but I think the title race is getting in their heads, I'd say, as well. There's a lot. It's not any one thing.
I think it is pressure, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I think City can live up to it and those teams can't, to be blunt.
Cottle says, satay sauce is better than curry sauce. Thoughts? I'm not a fan of nut sauce, so I'm going to go with curry sauce. Satay sauce is like made with nuts, isn't it? Peanut butter, like.
What? Sorry, I just thought I'd leave you in silence there. Just to expand.
No, that's what it is.
Yeah, no, it is.
Right. I'm glad you finally answered me. Ian's going to clip this and send it into the WhatsApp next week. Like, I can see this is what's going to happen, Kieran. I prefer curry sauce to satay sauce. There you go.
As opposed to
satay sauce. I don't like satay sauce.
Yeah. I like curry sauce.
Yeah, so do I. Cottle says, chicken fillet diced or sliced? Ooh.
Did he say diced?
Diced. Oh, well, Sean diced. Or diced or sliced. I like it when it's like in strips, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a rarity as well, isn't it? It's a bit lucrative when you meet someone.
It is. Yeah. It is. And you know you're at a good deli when they do. This is the pits, Kieran. We've reached the bottom of the barrel. We are here.
We are sad and lonely and or miserable.
Sliced, to answer Carl's question. Last question. Ian says, history question. Was JFK murdered by the government?
Oh. Well, let me get my...
You're going to like this, Kieran.
Let me get my... my machine up here.
Go on.
And we'll delve into it quicker. Pull it up, Jamie.
This is a real pull it up, Jamie moment as well, isn't it? Actually?
So, John F. Kennedy assassinated by Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yep.
Who, if I remember correctly, it was November 22, 1963. Assassinated by Lee Harvey Oswald, who was also... assassinated, if I remember correctly. November 24th, 1963. Detectives were escorting Oswald through the basement of Dallas Police Headquarters towards an armored car that was to take him from the city jail to the nearby county jail. At 11:21 a.m., Dallas nightclub operator Jack Ruby approached Oswald from the side of the crowd and shot him once in the abdomen at close range. That was 2 days after he assassinated JFK.
Right.
Now, personally, I would say, from my own opinion of how things transpired, that the penny dropped and he may have been about to release some information on who ordered him to assassinate John F. Kennedy.
Okay.
And someone was sent to murder him.
Do you think...
And stop him from releasing that.
Who do you think sent Lee Harvey Oswald, that's his name, to murder JFK?
Well, a wise man would maybe say the government.
Right. So what are you saying? And
I'm saying that it could have been... I don't know. I think you have to look outside the government for this one. You might say the Vietnamese or something like that.
Right, yeah, okay. Mm. Right, or the Russians maybe.
Yeah. Maybe they thought that JFK was digging himself into a hole that they didn't want to be found.
Right.
And maybe they said, right, send this fella to assassinate JFK.
There was a whole thing with Marilyn Monroe as well, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it is something to ponder. I don't think it was the American government.
Right.
I think it could have been a foreign government.
The Russians or the Vietnamese?
The Vietnamese, the North Koreans, who knows?
I think potentially the Russians, if I was to guess. Are we stepping on toes by talking about this, are we?
Not if we don't go any further. That's the end of the podcast.
Just end it. Just don't even outro, just end it.